Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mani Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane. Namaste Saraswata Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Vrindavani Pavashata Vekshatadane
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasandhi Gaurava Gaurinavanda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In Srimad Bhagavatam 6 chapter 6 and verse 42 Kakshevani Japaraya Kiyan Varta Svapa Jumha Dharmina
Kiyan Varta Svaparadhyaya
Svadro Hatha Vakopaha
Svadro Hatha Vakopaha
Parasampidaya Chatatadaha
Parasampidaya Chatatadaha Kakshevani Japaraya Kiyan Varta
Envious of the performer and of others.
Envious of the performer and others.
Dharmena.
Dharmena.
With the religious system.
With religious system.
Swadroha.
Swadroha.
From being envious.
From being envious.
Tava.
Tava.
Of you.
Of you.
Kopa.
Kopa.
Anger.
Anger.
Para sampidaya.
Para sampidaya.
Giving pain to others. Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Chata.
Chata.
As well as.
As well as
adharma,
adharma,
irreligion.
Irreligion.
Translation: how can religious system that produces envy of oneself and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained by causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy, and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger and practices irreligion? Purport: any religious system but the process of Bhagavata Dharma service as internal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead It's a system of envy of one's own self and others. For example, there are many systems of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended. Such animal sacrifices are inauspicious both for the performer and for the animal. Although one is sometimes permitted to sacrifice an animal before the goddess Kali and eat it, instead of purchasing meat from a slaughterhouse, permission to eat meat after a sacrifice in the presence of goddess Kali is not the order of the supreme mouth in Godhead. It is simply a concession for the miserable people who will not give up eating meat. It is meant to restrict a desire for unrestricted meat eating. Such a religious system is condemned. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Paratya Jamamekam Sharanam Raja, give up all other duties and surrender unto me. That is the last word in religion. One may argue that the sacrifice of animals is recommended in the Vedas. This recommendation, however, is a restriction. Without any restrictions on the purchase of meat, people will purchase meat from the market, which will be overflooded with meat shops and slaughterhouses will increase. To restrict this, sometimes the Vedas say that one may eat meat after sacrificing a sleeping animal like a goat or the goddess Kali. In any case, the system of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended is inauspicious for those who perform the sacrifices and for the animals. Envious persons who perform ostentatious animal sacrifices are condemned in Bhagavad Gita as follows. Self-complacent, always impudent, deluded by wealth and false prestige, they sometimes perform sacrifices in name only, without following any rules and regulations. Sometimes animal sacrifices are performed very gorgeously with grand arrangements of worshiping goddess Kali, but such festivals, although performed in the name of Yajna, are not actually Yajna. For Yajna means to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is recommended that they say specifically, though Yajna Sankirtana Prayaya Jatiti Sumeda Saha, those who have good intelligence satisfy the Yajna Purush Vishnu by chanting and Hare Krishna mantra. Envious persons, however, are condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as follows. Bewildered by false ego, strength, pride, lust, and anger, the demons become envious of the Supreme Personality of God, who is situated in his own body and the body of others, and blasphemes against the real religion. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence into various demonic species of life. These persons are condemned by the Supreme Personality of God, as indicated by the word tava kopa. A person who commits murder is envious of himself and also the person he has killed. For the result of committing murder is that he will be arrested and hanged. If one transgresses the law of man-made government, he may escape being killed by the state, but one cannot escape the laws of God. A killer of any animal must be killed in his next life by the same animal. This is the law of nature. One must follow the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Sarva Dharma Paratyaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. If one follows any other system of religion, he is subject to punishment by the Supreme Personality of God in many different ways. Therefore, if one follows the concocted system of religion, he is envious not only of others but also of himself. Consequently, the system of religion is useless. Srimad Bhagavatam says, duties executed by man, regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor that they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. Following the system of religion does not awaken one's Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, is merely a waste of time and labor. Translation: how can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and others be beneficial for oneself or for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained by causing pain to oneself? Due to self-envy, by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger and practices your religion. So this again, as the previous verse, is a criticism of all these other religious systems, or systems of dharma. And as I mentioned the other day, real dharma meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord, that is all. And we have no other interests other than to please the Lord. So, there are many other systems. Some of the systems are Vedic, such as the Karma Mimamsa philosophy and system, or Jnana Yoga or Astanga Yoga. Some of them are non-Vedic. So we have various other religions like Buddhism, Jainism, and Christianity, and Muslim, and Charvaka's philosophy, and Tantric philosophy, etc. These are not considered to be acceptable as far as Vedas are concerned. So at least karma kanda and jnana and yoga fall within the Vedic system in one sense. Yet the Vedanta Sutra rejects all of these other systems, even if they follow the Vedas. Of course it rejects the systems that don't follow the Vedas. It defeats the Buddhist arguments and the Jain arguments and Charvaka arguments. But Vedanta Sutra also rejects Sankhya philosophy and Vaisheshika philosophy and Nyayika philosophy and Yoga philosophy, all of which are also based upon the Vedas. And it also rejects the Karma Mimamsa philosophy as mistaken. So though a person may follow the Vedas, still there may be some mistake there, and therefore it gets rejected. Okay? So the conclusion of the Vedanta Sutra, which is actually to bring out the conclusion of the Vedas, is to say that ultimately we should simply worship the Supreme Lord and only Him. And everything else is, if it doesn't have that conclusion, it should be rejected. And that is also the same conclusion in the Bhagavatam. As I said, the second verse says, this book, the Bhagavatam, it rejects all cheating religions completely. So here we have an example of this in terms of causing problems for a pain to oneself or others. Anything, any religion that does that is considered to be a dharma, it says here. And it invokes the anger of the Supreme Lord. So obviously, any system which is causing harm to others, that is to be considered useless. And that may take many forms. The previous verse talked about this whole idea of seeing difference, and then consequently we have enemies, and then we have different religions, and then we think of the other religion as an enemy or whatever, and we attack them. So that is one type of adharma, simply to attack other religions. Or one may simply not even attack religions, and we just harm other living creatures and commit violence. So an example of that is the philosophy in the Vedas of sacrificing animals. So yes, it is in the Vedas in the Karmakanda section. But then we see in the Bhagavatam, in the story of King Puranjana, all this animal sacrifice gets rejected as being sinful, ultimately. Even though it said it doesn't commit sin, and you can do pious activity, and do horse sacrifice, and go to Svargaloka, ultimately it's considered to be useless. So, even if these sacrifices are done properly according to scripture, and therefore they don't incur sin, even then they're considered to be ultimately useless because the results are material and only meant for your own benefit. So we have to give pain to other living entities to get some sort of comfort for ourselves. So even if it's religiously prescribed, even then it is not really acceptable. Yeah, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, yes, on a lower level, all these things are permitted in the religious system, but on a higher level, no, they get rejected. So, therefore, all of these things, though they may seem to be dharma because they're in the scriptures and the Vedas, and still, ultimately, they get rejected as being cheating dharma also. So that is within, of course, the Vedic system itself. Such things are considered to be condemned. Of course, we see that even Yudhisthira did horse sacrifices, or Prithu Maharaj does a horse sacrifice, or whatever. So we see, yes, they did these sacrifices also. So why they did them, if it is condemned? It is particularly condemned in Kali Yuga. Horse sacrifices, cow sacrifices, etc. are completely condemned in Kali Yuga. Other ages, people may be qualified to do these sacrifices, so to some degree they could do them, but even then, not really recommended. But in Kali Yuga, completely condemned. And as for the pure Vaishnavas, one following the highest dharma, such sacrifices have no effect at all. These sacrifices are part of karma yoga. The kings perform sacrifices for different purposes, etc., whatever. Okay? The Vaishnava Dharma, and what do they do it for? It is for Artha Dharma Kama. It's not even for moksha, it's not even for prema. It's got nothing to do with that. So therefore, one who is interested in the highest goal, prema, then, or even moksha, they will have nothing to do with these things at all. So even the jnani and the yogi will reject all these things. What to speak of the devotee of the Lord. Yeah? So the higher dharmas, they completely reject all of these lower things in the karma kanda section. So then, what to speak of things which are not even in the Vedas at all? People have their own concocted sacrifices or whatever, and then it's completely rejected. So that is one thing. In religion itself, there may be prescriptions for violence and killing animals and whatever. So ultimately, it gets condemned. And of course, then beyond that, of course, beyond religion itself, if one indulges in unnecessary violence or whatever, then that is also condemned. So there is violence against others. Here it talks about svadroha, or violence against oneself. Normally people don't do that. They try to protect themselves and they don't want to harm themselves. But actually, in the long run, due to creating bad karma, they do inflict their own pain on themselves. In other words, by sinful activity, people commit pain to themselves. So most people don't intentionally do so, but due to ignorance and their violent activities, sinful activities, then they do cause harm even to themselves. So therefore, all these types of sinful activities are also condemned, all types of sins. And if we analyze sin, what is it? Sin means violence to other creatures. So ultimately, the self-pain, conflicted pain, is a result of our pain to others. So, in other words, sinful activity means to interfere with other living entities unnecessarily and cause them disturbance. So that is one type of violence, violence to others. So that is condemned here. But the other is, the result of that, one gets bad karma and then one suffers oneself. So ultimately, it means violence, unnecessary violence in any form is a sin, and this cannot be permitted. So this is all a dharma, even if it is in religion itself, where there are prescriptions for such violence, ultimately becomes a dharma. The only question comes is that as long as we live, we have to commit violence because we have to live and we have to eat and whatever, so we have to commit some violence. So, in other words, minimize the violence, at least that much. And therefore, ultimately, the animal sacrifices are not necessary. We don't have to do that. So that, therefore, let's minimize the violence and not do that. So, as much as possible, we minimize violence to other creatures in the material world. In this way, we can say that the Vaishnava Dharma, or the path of the devotee, is actually the highest compassion. Religions talk about compassion, but they're not so compassionate after all, because then they kill the animals anyway. They're merciful to the dogs and cats because of the pets, and then all the other animals they kill. So what is that? Kill all the chickens, and kill all the cows, and kill all the goats, and they protect the dogs. So, what type of mercy is that? So they have compassion in one sense, but it's only half compassion. So, and if we take the karma kanda or the karma mimosa philosophy, yes, they show compassion, they talk about compassion, but then they kill the animals also, they sacrifice the animals. And then the king is supposed to protect the people, but then he goes and kills the animals. So, there's all sorts of things like this, unnecessary killing of animals. So that is to be forbidden. And it says here, the Lord becomes angry. Not pleased. And the whole purpose of Dharma is to please the Lord. So, therefore, the path of the devotee is actually a higher type of compassion than the compassion shown in these other systems of Dharma and religion, whatever, that minimizes it to the smallest amount possible. And in this way, the Lord is pleased. So, compassion, of course, is one aspect of Dharma. Let's not interfere with others, but we shouldn't think this is the only thing. Yeah? So as far as compassion is concerned, yes, the path of the Bhagavad Dharma is superior to karma kanda, etc., because it has a higher sense of compassion even than other systems. And therefore, in the second verse of the Bhagavatam, it says, this path is for, this book is for, Bhagavatam is for, not only the Paramahamsas who've rejected all material goals, etc. It is also for people who are following Dharma, because it's the highest Dharma. So if they want to follow Dharma, then this is the best way to follow Dharma, because it takes the basic principles themselves and follows them more completely than the other karma, jnana, and yoga. So it's even good for people following Dharma. They want to follow Dharma, follow it perfectly by practicing perfect compassion. So, but as I said, this verse is only one aspect of Bhagavad Dharma. This is secondary to the main principle of pleasing the Lord. It's one way of pleasing the Lord. That's not the only way. It's one way of pleasing the Lord. So the opposite way of pleasing the Lord is service to the Lord, positive service to the Lord. So compassion is one thing, but then the other thing is we do direct service to the Supreme Lord. That is considered to be pleasing. And what is that service? Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping the Lord. This is direct service which is pleasing to the Lord. So we shouldn't think that this is the main aspect, the other aspect which is the main aspect. Therefore, though this is one aspect, and there, if we don't follow there, the Lord becomes angry. On the other hand, if we don't serve the Lord, that also is the cause of the Lord being indifferent to us. So this will definitely get rid of the anger by being compassionate, get rid of the anger. But what is pleasing to the Lord? So what's pleasing to the Lord is service to the Lord. That is pleasing. So any system that does that, then we say that is Dharma. Its main aspect is pleasing the Lord. So we measure a system of religion or philosophy to be how much it pleases the Supreme Lord. That's a very simple system. And we can judge different religious systems based on that. So, of course, if we examine all these different systems, yes, to some degree they will. Some systems don't even have God, so then that whole thing is useless. Some can't have no God at all, so therefore that's completely rejected. Other systems do admit God, but in a very lesser way, like karma mimamsa. Some of them, even there, they don't accept God in one sense, so it's debatable. So therefore, that's more or less rejected also. Other systems do, like yoga, has a paramatma, and they accept a God, but still not so well-defined. So therefore, all lesser, at best, is lesser dharmas, or else completely rejected as dharmas, not a real dharma at all. So at least there has to be this trying to please the Supreme Lord in there. But if at the same time trying to please the Supreme Lord, we also do the opposite and have no compassion and start killing animals, etc., then it becomes useless again, cancels the whole thing out. So then we see these both aspects and see if, we can see if the religion is actually progressive by seeing these two aspects, the positive aspect of pleasing the Lord and then the negative aspect of nonviolence.
Things like the fact, given the ongoing life or situation in the system, that they will be misused in the future.
Well, as I said, it is part of that system for Artha, Dharma, and Kama. For that. If we're not interested in it, then we don't do it.
Maharaj, this Swarguru, how do we understand the tapasvis who will be cut food to austerity, then they will, you know, it's almost like harming the body. They don't follow the regular.
That is Tamasic austerity. Who was it? Ripasura sacrifices arms, legs, everything into the fire to please Lord Shiva, whatever. So yeah, that is Tamasic austerity, which is not acceptable also.
But one is regular tapas. For example, even Brahma heard the word tapa.
So he did meditate on the Lord. That is bhakti. And then the Lord appeared. So it's not tapa in that sense.
Actually, what is tapas mean?
It's a wide variety of meanings. For some people, it means simply doing voluntary austerities of the body to get some material gain or siddhi or whatever, like yogis do. So that also is rejected ultimately as not being proper. Yeah. So the only tapa that we do is those things that please the Lord. Control of the senses that please the Lord, such as a codicil or whatever like that. And in the sense that the Brahma did tapa, he meditated on the Lord. Controlled his mind and meditated on the Lord. So that's his tapa. Well, it's considered to be, as I said, tamasic if they do this. In other words, any tapas which is not regulated by scriptural injunctions, then that's considered to be either rajasic or tamasic.
So to not give spiritual knowledge to others, Prabhupada says that's also jiva himself.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah, because we're not giving the ultimate. In other words, we have different types of compassion in terms of not harming animals, and the other compassion is to educate them, give them proper knowledge.
Rundra Sishimadvagadam ki, Dharmas Padma Kaski, Zimekhi Sishimadvagadam ki, Dharmas Padma Kaski, 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 Dharmas